Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 9, Text Number 27. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Yat karoshi yadashnasi yajjohoshi dadasi yat. Yat tapashyashi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. Krishna explains to Arjuna, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. Purport, by His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Padamahamsa Padiva Jagacharja Astatarasadashi Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Thus, it is the duty of everyone to mold his life in such a way that he will not forget Krishna in any circumstance. Everyone has to work for maintenance of his body and soul together, and Krishna recommends herein that one should work for him. Everyone has to eat something to live, and therefore he should accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Any civilized man has to perform some religious, ritualistic ceremonies, and therefore Krishna recommends, do it for me. And this is called archana. Everyone has a tendency to give something in charity. Krishna says, give it to me. And this means that all surplus money accumulated should be utilized in furthering the Krishna consciousness movement. Nowadays, people are very much inclined to the meditational process, which is not practical in this age. But if anyone practices meditating on Krishna 24 hours a day by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra round his beads, he is surely the greatest meditator and the greatest yogi, as substantiated by the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Om Ajnanatam Dandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. What does Krishna want? Krishna simply wants that we will be happy. That's all. He just wants us to be happy. Is Krishna selfish or greedy that, you know, he wants some sense gratification out of us? No. Krishna is the supreme Atma. No. He is completely self-satisfied. He doesn't need our service. He is being served by much more qualified devotees in the spiritual world. Srimati Radharani is cooking for Krishna. She does not cook the same preparation twice. She doesn't have to look it up in a cookbook. Every time she cooks, it's completely brand new preparation that she's never prepared before, that Krishna has never tasted before. You see? So do you think that Krishna needs our cooking? No. So why does he say, whatever you eat, you should offer it to me? That is Krishna's kindness upon us. Because we need to love Krishna. That is our nature. just as a fish needs to be in the water. If he's out of the water, he will be in great difficulty. So similarly, we need to be in the ocean of love of God. Krishna is eternally manifesting the jivas, the living entities, namely us, from himself. For what purpose? Krishna is supreme enjoyer. Just as the mother and father, according to Chanakya Pandit, a house that has no children is like desert. If there's little children growing up, it makes the home life very jolly. But if it's empty, and even after the children grow up, they keep all the pictures on the walls. When he was 1 month old, when he was 1 year old, they have the whole succession. So they can meditate on the childhood pastimes of their children growing up. You see. So they want to have some children in the home. So actually that tendency is originally there in Krishna. He is Atma Ram, he could be there all alone out there in Goloka Vrindavan if he wanted to be. But to expand his own enjoyment, he expands unlimited numbers of living entities from himself, beginning with Srimati Radharani. Of course, she's described not as Jiva. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it even explains that Lakshmiji is Vishnu Tattva. So she's in a very special category, Srimati Radharani, Lakshmiji, Sitaji. Very special position they have. So Krishna is expanding his brother Balaram from himself, he's expanding his consorts, beginning with Srimati Radharani, the gopi girls. He's expanding an unlimited number of living entities from himself to fill up his spiritual world with unlimited pastimes, unlimited relationships, unlimited transcendental adventures. So, that's why we exist. Krishna is emanating us from himself to enjoy rasa with us. Just as there are no two snowflakes that are exactly the same. Every single jiva that Krishna is emanating from himself is completely unique. There's no carbon copies in the creation of the Lord. No carbon copies. Clones. Everyone is completely unique, has their own unique DNA code, etc., etc. Everyone is completely unique. So that Krishna can have a unique loving relationship with that particular living entity who is you. So since the Lord is manifesting you from himself to enjoy a particular relationship that he can have only with you, do you think he's happy that you are in this material world? And do you think you can be happy in this material world, separated from your beloved Lord? Not possible. So our position is, we're miserable here. Actually, we're miserable. There's no other way, there's nothing else you can be except miserable. It's interesting, the word miserable. Note the connection between the word miserable and the word miser. Miser means miserable. Miser means you want to be selfish, you want to keep for yourself that which should be given to others. That's called miserly tendency. In Sanskrit language, it is called kripana. And in American slang language, it is called creep. That person is a real creep. Actually, it is Sanskrit, kripana. It's miser, selfish creep, is a real creep. So, if we are creeps, if we are kripanas, then if we are misers, then we will be miserable. You cannot avoid. Cannot avoid being miserable. So Krishna is giving us here this wonderful, merciful instruction. He's trying to snap us out of our creepish, miserly mentality by saying, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that not for yourself, not for your family members, not for your neighbors, not for your friends, not for your country, not even for all living entities, do it for me. Do it for me. You may say, but my wife will be angry if I do everything for somebody else. How can I get away with that? You see? Or my husband will be angry, or my kids will be, you know, my parents will be angry. How I can do everything for Krishna. Well, Krishna actually explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Ananyash chintayantamam ye jana paryapasate tesham nirchapayuktanam yogachemam vahamyaham. That person who worships me with what kind of devotion? Exclusive. What does that word exclusive mean? It means I worship you and nobody else. You're it and no one else. That's exclusive devotion. Krishna doesn't want divided devotion. A little here, a little there. You see, a little here, a little there. And at the end, Krishna gets his little share too. That will never satisfy Krishna. If we want to satisfy Krishna, then we have to give Krishna everything. Everything we must give. Then you may get scared that how I will live in this world. Don't I have so many duties and obligations? What does Krishna say? He says, forget those duties and obligations. Sarvadhaman paritya mame kamsharanam bhaja. Actually, when we give our love to Krishna, this is one of the insider's secrets. When we give our love to Krishna with exclusivity, then we not only become the perfect lover of Krishna, but we become the perfect lover of everyone and everything. How is that? When you eat your meals, your toe needs nutrition, isn't it? Do you stick your toe in the rice? Do you put your elbow in the dal when you eat your meals? No. There is no need. If you simply feel the belly, then all of the bodily parts automatically become nourished. So we give all of the food to the belly. We exclusively feed the belly, and by that, 100% focus on feeding the belly. Every single part of the body is completely satisfied and nourished. Isn't it a fact? We all have practical experience. Does anybody feed another part of their body besides the belly? Anybody do that here? Do you feed any bodily part other than your belly? Of course, we put it in mouth, but the mouth is the tunnel to the belly. So no, we all have that practical experience. By feeding the belly, every part of the body is perfectly nourished and satisfied. So, in the same exact way, if we will give all of our love, all of our devotion, all of our attention, if we will give absolutely everything we do, everything we eat, everything, all austerities we do, all of our charity, absolutely everything is given to Krishna and only to Krishna, the result will be we become the best husband, the best wife, the best father, the best mother, the best child, the best friend, the best brother, the best sister, the best neighbor, the best employee, the best citizen. Everything the best. When you become the pure devotee of Krishna, exclusively devoted to the Lord, you become perfect in all respects. No one can find any fault in you. Because now you're actually connected with the source of everything. And by that, you're actually connected not only with the source, but with everything else. You become connected then, truly connected with your family members, the society in general, all living entities. Even with a little ant, you are connected. That's why the Vaishnava, he even offers his respects to the ant. This process of Krishna consciousness is very, very powerful. This process of Krishna consciousness has the power to completely drive all the inauspicities out of our hearts and to bring a golden era of love of God on this planet. The social conditions have become so bad now, we are urging the entire world society that now is the time for a global spiritual awakening. All the other solutions, they are not working. They are not working. The war on terror is not working. The home security, what is it called? The home security, Homeland Security Department is not working. These are band-aid solutions. They don't really solve the problem. Here we have the actual solution to bring about a global awakening of consciousness. It is called the Krishna Consciousness Movement. This movement has the power, has the potency, under the guidance of our beloved founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridanti Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, to lead the entire world out of chaos. Viplavaha. It is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Spiritual revolution. So that revolution of consciousness, which needs now to sweep this entire planet, it must begin right here in our own hearts. It must begin right here. What is Prabhupada's common? He always said, physician, heal thyself. You want to save the world, that is very nice. But unless you save yourself, it is simply Don Quixote chasing windmills. It's useless. First, we must focus on saving ourselves. How to become absorbed in Krishna Bhakti. And Krishna is giving us all good advice, all good instruction how to do that. Everything offered to Krishna. This is not the end of the list. This is sample only. Everything, every thought for Krishna, every word for Krishna, every action for Krishna, in all times, all places, and all circumstances, with love, not like Kamsa, begrudgingly or hatefully thinking of Krishna. There's anukul and pratikul. There's two types of Krishna consciousness. Anukul and pratikul. You see, pratikul, that is the Krishna consciousness of Kamsa. Anukul, that is the Krishna consciousness of the pure devotees. That is the Krishna consciousness we must cultivate. Favorable. We must think, Krishna is so kind. If we think, oh, why is Krishna doing this to me? You see, that is called pratikul. That is unfavorable Krishna consciousness. Of course, any Krishna consciousness is good. But if you want to actually become liberated from all suffering, from all anxieties, then we must cultivate favorable Krishna consciousness. Thinking, feeling grateful to Krishna, how he is blessing me with these situations he is putting me in to help me surrender to him. That is his kindness. There's a wonderful prayer given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada is so fond of this prayer that he quotes it in the Nectar of Devotion. Let's see. Tate nukampam susamikshamano gunjana evatma kritang vipakam tadvagvapur vir vidadam namaste jiveta yomukti pade sadaya bhak. My dear Lord, any person who is suffering the, who agrees to suffer the reactions of his past misdeeds. How does it go? Any person who agrees to suffer the reactions of his past misdeeds, while he goes on offering you respectful obeisances from the core of his heart, is an eligible candidate for liberation. Indeed, it has become his rightful claim. So the devotee of the Lord is actually grateful whatever is coming to him. He is seeing how Krishna is blessing me. Even if it's of a difficult situation, a trying situation, he is saying, I'm simply getting some reaction from my past misdeeds, that's all. But he goes on offering his respectful obeisances to the Lord, and in this way, he becomes a fit candidate for liberation from the cycle of birth and death. So if we seriously cultivate Krishna consciousness, we will become supremely happy. Supremely happy. There will be no limit to the joy, the peace, the satisfaction, the enlightenment, the enlivenment, the satisfaction, complete total satisfaction, tushti, pushti. We'll become so happy. Such wonderful taste we will have it every minute. This Krishna consciousness is so nice thing. You can take all the pleasure of this material world and you can compare it to the pleasure of one pure utterance of the Hare Krishna mantra. There is no comparison. One pure utterance of Hare Krishna contains more nectar, more juice than all of the pleasure that's ever been tasted in this material world, even by the devatas, the demigods. Someone may think, I would like to go to Sarva Loka so I can taste the pleasure of the demigod. But actually, if you simply learn to become a pure chanter of Hare Krishna, Lord Brahma, who is on the highest planet of enjoyment, of material facility, Brahma Loka, he came down and took birth in a Muslim family so he could chant Hare Krishna as Haridas Thakur. And he was chanting 23 and a half hours a day, something like 196 rounds a day he was chanting Hare Krishna mantra. And he was tasting more pleasure chanting his 196 rounds daily than he was when he was Lord Brahma, enjoying the topmost position of opulence and power within this material existence. So do not be misled by this the glitter called the United States of America. Do not be misled by this glitter. It's nothing compared to the pleasures and the opulence and the power of Brahma Loka. But Brahma, he came down to India to live the life of a humble sadhu. It was such humble position because he was born in a Muslim family. They would not allow him into Jagannath temple. Here he was Lord Brahma, and he can't even come into Jagannath temple. But he accepted him. And he humbly remained separate in his little hut, chanting Hare Krishna mantra. But he was so perfect in his devotional service that Krishna himself, Lord Jagannath himself, in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, came to see him. The Lord came for his darshan. He was such a great saint. And what was his perfection? He was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this mantra, Hare Krishna mantra, it will also give us this perfection, the pure love of God. Not just by thinking, well, the Hare Krishna mantra is a nice thing. No. Prabhupada says, the tongue must work We have to utter it. We, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, chanting round his beads. He doesn't say on his clicker. Some that is now a becoming popular item. But actually, he is saying, chanting round his beads. Round his beads. So, if we can follow the Acharyas, and we can chant every day a prescribed number of rounds, Srila Prabhupada has given us that every day we must complete at least 16 rounds of Japa Mala, round the beads. So, if we will do this faithfully, chanting with love, appreciating how Krishna has so mercifully manifested in the form of his names, the result will be absolutely incredible. The transformation that we will feel in our hearts will be so astounding, it will be so uplifting, it will be so exhilarating, we will not even be able to understand how so much nectar could even exist in this material world. That is how much we will taste. We will experience inconceivable happiness. Achincha sukha. By taking up this process of chanting with all seriousness, under the guidance of the spiritual master, the saintly devotees of the Lord, and the scriptures, the books of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, our most beloved founder, Acharya, the most powerful spiritual master, the most compassionate spiritual master in the history of the entire universe. So we can ask now if there's any questions any of you may have. We'd be happy to try to answer. Yes.
Saying, why not Krishna? Could you please explain why Krishna? Why not Ram? Why not?
Yeah. Krishna, Ram, same thing. Krishna wants to show the pastime of having only one consort. Then he, to show an example for us, Krishna, he is God, he is supreme enjoyer. He can have unlimited consorts. But when he thinks, well, let me show an example for humanity of having only one consort, then he takes then he takes up the identity of Lord Ram to show that that an example for us how to be have one wife. He is the same Krishna, actually. It is simply a different pastime of Krishna. That's all.
Why Krishna only? Why not Ram?
I'm saying, whether you worship Ram or Krishna, it's the same thing. If you think, I would rather worship Ram, that's all right. You worship Lord Ram, he is Krishna. Ram is Krishna and Krishna is Ram. Why are we chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Ram?
Sure.
Whether you worship Krishna or worship Ram.
Why not Shiva?
Huh?
Why not Shiva?
Shiva is also he is described as when the Lord comes in contact with the material nature, that is called Shiva. Just like you can take this is described by Brahmaji. You may have heard one ancient scripture called Brahma Samhita. Yeah. Brahmaji, who is the original demigod in this universe, actually Shiva took birth from Brahmaji, from his forehead. So Brahmaji is great Vedic authority. Actually, within this universe, he is the greatest Vedic authority, the original recipient of the knowledge of God and the Absolute Truth is coming from Brahmaji. Tene Brahma Hridayadi Kaviye. He is Adi Kavi. He is the original enlightened poet, Adi Kavi. Tene Brahma Hridayadi. That Brahma, that transcendental knowledge is given within the heart of that Adikavi Brahma by Krishna. So Adikavi Brahmaji, who gave birth to Shiva from his forehead, he describes what is the relationship between Shiva and Krishna. actually, he is the self-same person, but in contact with the material nature. Just as milk becomes transformed into yogurt. They are the same thing. Yogurt is nothing but a transformation of milk. It's milk. But it has been transformed by coming in contact with a yogging agent. So, when the Supreme Lord comes in contact with the material energy, there is a transformation. And that transformation is known as Lord Shiva. So actually they are the same, but at the same time there's a difference. The difference is that you can extract yogurt from milk. Milk can be transformed into yogurt. But do you have any experience that yogurt can be transformed into milk? There is no experience, you see. So Krishna can emanate Shiva from himself. He can expand Shiva out of himself. But Shiva cannot emanate Krishna from himself. That's the difference. Shiva is a great worshipable God for us because he is pure devotee of Krishna. He is a great Vaishnava Acharya, actually. His wife, Parvati, she said, "My beloved Lord, my dear Prabhu," actually in the Vedic culture, the husband, Shiva and Parvati show this example. In the traditional Vedic culture, the husband and wife would not address each other by name. The wife will call the husband Prabhu, or Lord, and the wife is addressed as Devi, or Goddess, by the husband. So we see in this conversation, this etiquette is followed by Shiva and his beloved consort. She says, "My dear Prabhu, my dear Lord, of all the types of worship, what is the topmost worship?" And he says, "Vishnu Aradhanam Devi." Of all types of worship, the worship of Vishnu is the topmost worship. So, because Shiva is a great worshipper of Vishnu, he is also worshipable by us. He is a great, great Vaishnava Acharya. He is very dear to us. Very, very dear to us. Because he is such great Vaishnava Acharya. And you may have heard of Bhaktivedanta Manor in England. Yes. Before we got that manor, we had a very nice temple at a place in London called Berry Place. Berry Place. That's where we had very nice worship going on. So, this was the early days of our movement. And Prabhupada was there, the devotees were there having very, very enlivened kirtan. And Prabhupada said, "You bring another asan and put it here in the temple room. This asan is for Lord Shiva. Because he is coming to hear these kirtans that you were doing." Prabhupada could see, he has great vision. He could actually see how Lord Shiva has come to attend the Hare Krishna Kirtan. So there is no greater, if you want to worship Lord Shiva and please him, there is no greater worship than you can do for Lord Shiva than to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If with great devotion you will chant this Hare Krishna mantra, then Lord Shiva will come to your house. And he will bless your house with his auspicious presence. That is the meaning of the word Shiva, auspicious. So if you chant with great intensity of love for Krishna, there's nothing that pleases Shiva more than Krishna bhakti. He will personally come to your home and bless your home. You may not be able to see him, but he will certainly come if you chant Hare Krishna mantra with great love for Krishna. There's nothing he likes more to see than love of Krishna. There are many stories of those who worship Shiva, but generally we see they are greedy and they are selfish. There was one, Asura, his name was Vrikasura. He was worshipping Lord Shiva. He was very eager to get the blessings of Shiva. So he was trying to invoke that Lord Shiva would come. Doing all kinds of austerities, and Lord Shiva was not coming. He was getting very frustrated. He thought, well, how can I attract him? Let me do more austerities, more austerities. So he thought, well, I'll start offering my own flesh. He took a knife, he was cutting his own flesh and offering. And it was horrible, you know, grotesque austerities he was going through. Finally, actually, Shiva came. And he said, all right, whatever boon you like, I will give you. So give me the boon that whoever is head I touch, it will crack, their skull will crack and they will die instantly. That's what he wanted from Lord Shiva. See, this is the caliber of people who approach Lord Shiva. They have material desires, not very nice material desires. Black magic, and, you know. So he wanted that power that he could touch anyone's head and his skull would crack. So, this person was so selfish. He thought, well, Shiva has a very nice wife. And if I kill Lord Shiva, then I can take his wife as my own. So as soon as he received the benediction from Shiva, he immediately reached out to touch Shiva's head. And Shiva had given this boon. He could not retract it. So he was running in fear from his life, from his own devotee. You see? All over the universe. He was trying to escape this asura, Rikushura. So there was no solution. But finally he went all the way to Vaikuntha. And Lord Vishnu, he helped him. His beloved Lord Vishnu, who is Krishna's expanded form, he helped him out. He disguised himself as a simple little brahmachari. Took a form like that. So he asked the Vrikashura, he said, Lord Shiva is cheating you. He doesn't have the power to give you such a boon. Why are you such a fool that you would believe Lord Shiva? Don't you realize he is a cheater? He has no power to give you such a boon. And this Vrikashura is very bewildered. Very bewildered. Oh, what is this? I've been cheated by Lord Shiva? And he said, yes, just test this. Just test this boon and see if it's for real. Just touch your head. So he touched his head and immediately his skull cracked and he died. In this way, Lord Vishnu had to save Shiva from one of his own followers. So generally, the Shivites, they have selfish desire. You see. It's not pure bhakti. They have selfish desire for their own sense gratification. So the best thing is you appreciate what a great acharya actually is Lord Shiva, and you worship him in that mood and beg for his mercy that you can achieve Krishna bhakti. See, that is the best. If you want to worship Shiva, that's how you should worship Shiva. He is a great Vaishnava acharya. So in that mood, if you worship in Lord Shiva, then you will get his greatest blessings. He can give you pure bhakti. He is a powerful Vaishnava acharya. Any other questions?
So the word Ram in Mahamantra refers to Lord Ramchandra?
Actually, it refers to Lord Ramachandra. It refers to Parasaram. It also refers to Balaram. And it also refers to Krishna, because he is... Ram is also a name for Krishna as well. Ram means supreme enjoyer. So it refers to Krishna, it refers to Balaram, to Ramachandra, and to Parasaram. You can worship all of them at once just by saying Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram, Ram. Pretty powerful. You can worship four gods with one mantra. Mm-hmm. Get all of their mercy. Get Parasaram's mercy, Balaram's mercy, Ramachandra, and also Krishna's mercy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram.
Hare Ram.
Hare Hare. Questions more? Yeah.
So, could you just clarify? I know that Lord Chaitanya himself has said that there's no hard and fast rules for this chanting. So why is it important to chant rounds, and why 16 rounds?
Chanting rounds? Yes, round the bead. Actually, one sahaja, he said that when Lord Chaitanya said there's no hard and fast rules, that means you should not chant on bead. That's how he interpreted Lord Chaitanya's. For Lord Chaitanya, we have to understand, if Lord Chaitanya has authority, then we should see that he also chanted japa. We see that his topmost followers. You can go to Vrindavan, you can go to the samadhi of Rupa Goswami, and you will see that there are japa beads Rupa Goswami chanted. So you may say, well, there's no hard and fast rule, so I can chant any old way I want. I can chant a clicker, I can, or just program my computer to chant my rounds for me, you know. There's no hard and fast rule. I can just put on a tape and let Prabhupada chant my rounds for me, you know. But we have to understand, Mahajana Yena Gata Sapanta. We have to follow the pathway of the great Mahajanas, and the Mahajanas are telling us we must chant japa. Must chant japa on the video. That's the Mahajanas are telling us. Do not try to concoct some new program in the name of Lord Chaitanya. What do we know? You see, we are conditioned souls. We have a great powerful acharya. The greatest acharya in history is Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In initiation, what did he do? Did he hand us a clicker? He handed us beads, isn't it? Of course, if there's an urgency, it's like in China, you might, with beads, they may arrest you and put you in prison. So there are conditions, or one could chant other ways, time, place, and circumstance. But if there's opportunity, we advise all of our students, the best thing to do is get up early in the morning, chant all your 16 rounds before you leave your, you know, the temple or the house. Just get up early and say, well, somebody said, well, I can't do that. I don't have time in my schedule. And I said, okay, well, let me know what your schedule is. And they said, well, I watch 2 hours of television every evening. It's the way I associate with my family members. I said, well, you don't really need that, you know. You can go to bed earlier and get up earlier. I mean, you have nice time in the early morning hours before your kids wake up. Get up before sunrise. In the early morning hours before the dawn, Brahma Muhurta. Get out some tulsi beads, sacred tulsi beads, and chant the Hare Krishna mantra and dive deeply into the Hare Krishna mantra. You will taste something which is very unique, which is very sublime, which is very, very wonderful. If you do this, we don't need to be running here and there, chanting around here, driving, you know, get the wheel in one hand, the beads in the other, hoping nothing bad happens because I only have one hand on the wheel, or maybe put the finger on the steering wheel out of the bead bag, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare. We don't need to chant that way. We need to get up early, take advantage of Brahma Muhurta, and just dive deeply into Nama Ras. You see, this will give great satisfaction. This is how we're going to go from the offensive stage to the clearing stage, the offenseless stage, if we don't put our full attention on the holy names. We have to put our full attention on the holy names. And then we can actually pass through the clearing stage and achieve Shuddhana. You see, isn't that what we're here for, to achieve Shuddhana? That's where the real nectar is. Shuddhanam is where the real nectar is found. That's where we can really taste the nectar. Shuddhanam. Unlimited nectar on that stage. So, we should do everything we can to get there as soon as possible. Am I right or wrong? You're a learned Brahmin. Am I right or wrong? You correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes. But I find sometimes people who are just starting, they find it a little difficult to find the time to chant 16 rounds. So, can they progress step by step and increase?
Yes. Chant one round, Chant two, and gradually increase. That's all right.
I know, like, when I first joined the movement, I first heard about it, I think in a matter of 2 months, I was chanting Hare Krishna 16 rounds a day, but I find that everyone can do that then.
Yeah, I chanted, actually, I chanted 16 rounds the very first day, but, you know, everyone, if someone starts at one round, that's also very good. Somehow or another, get the process going, and the process is so wonderful that you'll be, when you chant one round with love, you get such a sweet taste, you go, I don't want to stop. I want more of this nectar. Let me chant at least two rounds a day. And once you do that, you go, this is so sweet. I mean, I just, it's like, you know, in the material world, somebody, you give somebody, you know, some, you know, something really delicious food, and they want seconds. You see, it's so tasty. More. I want seconds of that one. You see? So the holy name is so sweet. If you chant it with love, you chant it with full attention, then you'll want more and more and more of it. Two rounds, three rounds, four rounds. 16 rounds even will just be just barely enough to whet your appetite. If I had time, I would chant even more. The devotee will want, I would chant more, but I have, you know, I have a job, I have a family to maintain, or I have book distribution to do, prasadam distribution to do. So I have to limit it to 16. I have so much preaching work to do. Or, you know, in this way. Any of you all have more questions?
Now that you mentioned about your routine, I'm sure these details will be on your website, but where do you do all this? Where do you work, and where do you do your book distribution?
Where do I work? My work is on my laptop. Okay. Wherever I am, all over the world. I'm constantly traveling around the world. The first thing I do when I get to a place, I don't say, where do I eat and sleep? The first thing I say, where is my internet connection? Actually, in the U.S., I'm totally wired, and my disciple does the driving, so I don't have to worry about it. And Mataji keeps an eye on her. She's a navigator. Make sure she's driving properly. And I just sit in the back seat. I got my laptop plugged into the cigarette lighter, and I have a wireless connection through my mobile phone. I'm online constantly, and I'm answering emails. Wherever I go, all over the world. Then,
How many students do you have on your?
We have right now 4,300 students in over 100 countries around the world.
4,300.
And there are new people who are coming every day. New people are joining every day. So we travel around the world so we can meet them face to face.
So anyone here can also.
Yes, you go to backtohome.com and you can sign up. It's free and gives you a chance to get Krishna Katha every day in the middle of all that mundane stuff. Get some Krishna Katha every day, and you have the opportunity to inquire also. We work very hard to answer the queries as soon as possible, as soon as they come in. We try to do it within 24 hours. Right now we're catching up. I'm answering yesterday's emails today. About maybe one day behind Thursdays. About just starting answering yesterday's emails that came in this afternoon before I came over here. I'm just answering some of yesterday's emails that came in.
So that is what is meant by being a student, registering on a website.
Is that?
What is meant by being a student?
A student. Well, student means someone who's. Well, that can mean different things to different people. For some people think that yes, I'm a student of this course. Some people think I'm just looking at it. I'm not really a student. Depends on the individual's mood. Some people take it very seriously.
So there's a course involved.
The student is that you have to enroll in that
course.
Yeah. Oh, there's a course.
Yeah,
you sign up. You get a weekly lesson where you have to answer a question. You know, there's an assignment, reading assignment, you have to send in the answer. to my one devotee who does the grading.
Is it from Bhagavad Gita?
Hmm?
Is the course from Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah, right now it would. It's a basic introductory course on Krishna consciousness. It's not a structured Bhakti Shastri course. It's just Krishna conscious, basic. Krishna consciousness 101. Basically, what it is.
The covers all varieties of topics that are essential for a beginner.
Yeah. Yeah, we basically are going through the Bhagavad Gita right now, giving a lot of topics are related to what's happening in the world. Just like we wrote a lesson about after these bombings went off in Bombay, we wrote our weekly lesson about, you know, a transcendental perspective on these things that are going on and what can be done about it. Sometimes it's kind of like, you know, Back to Godhead magazine, you have different varieties of articles. It's not really a structured thing, you just have different varieties of articles. What I'm doing is more like that. Different varieties of topics. But we are going through the Gita. The reading assignments take you through the Gita, key verses through the Gita. We're in chapter 2 right now. Yes?
Well, I told someone about you and they was asking, do you still do travel arrangements?
Yes, yes. We are arranging travel now to Goloka Vrindavan.
So therefore, I was wondering, maybe you, Krishna's blessed you so much that you don't have to do that anymore. They're actually
right. We don't
fully
do
funded by the people who
we close that business.
Donations to for doing this.
Right? Yeah, we're getting. There are many people all over the world who are appreciating. Well, there's a few people around the world who, just a small handful of people. That's enough to keep us on the road. We're getting enough contributions to keep us on the road.
So you can fully do this from your support, Krishna supporting you just doing it full time.
Yeah, this is vanaprastha. Right? You know, you're not working job, you're just preaching. So yes, I was formerly a computer. I was a brahmachari for 14 years preaching, and I was the one who first started going out to the Plaza of the Americas in Gainesville to begin this thing in 73. I was going out for 3 years, 2 or 3 years. And I was doing college preaching and then different things, and then I got married. I took some computer training. I was a computer programmer, and then for a few years, and then got back into full time preaching, and then some part time business work and business, and mixed with preaching, and now we just do full time preaching again for the rest of the life. That's all we will do, is just preach until Krishna takes us out of this body. We actually are very serious about trying to see that this world atmosphere can be uplifted now, because it's very bad. It's very, very bad what's happening on this planet right now. Very, very bad. It doesn't look good. And when Al-Qaeda actually gets nuclear capabilities, then we're talking about serious, serious, serious problems. So we really have to do something now while we have the chance to uplift the global consciousness. Really. Everybody should take it very seriously. To do their share to make the world a bright and happy place for your children and their children's children. It's a bad situation. The war on terror is losing right now. We're losing the war on terror. The only actual solution to the war on terror is Krishna consciousness. I went to the Muslim world and engaged the Muslims in chanting Hare Krishna. You should see you have a DVD player?
Yes, I do.
I can give you a copy and you can show. Tonight we may not have time. I went to the Muslim world. We had a whole hall full of Muslims chanting Hare Krishna in great delight. They were in tasting ecstasy. You'd be amazed to see the faces of these Muslim people chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So we have the actual solution that can bring all peoples of the world together in love and happiness. And we're just trying to introduce it as aggressively as possible, as quickly as possible, before, you know, absolute chaos completely overruns the world civilization. There was one poet, many, many decades ago, he predicted, a poet named Yeats, he said that things fall apart the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. And that's what's that's the way the society is moving right now. It's moving to complete anarchy. Complete breakdown of the society. They're moving in that direction. The only solution of this Krishna consciousness movement, the enlightened guidance of Srila Prabhupada, is the only real solution that can hold the world together and give it a common central point that everyone can rally around, a non-sectarian, nectarian conception of God. Not this, you know, my way or the highway version of religion, which is materialistic, actually. Materialistic. Any other questions?
Well, it's not that we'll just personally find peace, but actually we'll be able to affect the consciousness of more people in the world.
As with the microcosm, so with the macrocosm. But here in the singa, here they ain't a singa. You see, if you manifest full Krishna bhakti in your heart, then naturally you will have an impact on the world society. The more we have Hridaya Nisinga, the more we have Bahirnasinga. The more we have Nisinga within, or Krishna within, the more we have Nisinga manifested externally. Prabhupada clearly makes this point in his purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this is an astounding point. He says that if a devotee of the Lord can chant the holy names without offense, then he becomes Jagad Guru. And under his influence, the entire world will take up Krishna consciousness. So we cannot think that we cannot dream that we would come to that level, but we do know this, that to whatever extent we do purify ourselves, to that extent we will have an impact on this planet. So therefore we should take very seriously purifying our hearts. The more we become pure, the greater uplifting influence we have on the global consciousness. Okay. Questions, so, Mark?
We have different gods like Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, then Allah, Jesus. Yeah, people, different people, they pray their own God and they feel the peace in them. Okay. Everyone, they do their duty regularly. They do their regular prayers.
Okay.
And they have the peace.
All right, so what's the question? I understand your point. Yeah. What's the question?
If everyone is an incarnation or is
is everyone an incarnation of God?
God.
Yes, in one sense.
Whom should be followed?
Actually, in one sense, everyone is an incarnation of God. Because there's Krishna and there's Krishna's energy. So Krishna's energy is also Krishna because it is nothing but Krishna expanded out from himself. So in that sense, everyone is Krishna, everything is Krishna. Everything is God. But there is also difference. We have to understand the differences. Both things must be clearly understood. There is also difference. There is that original source who emanates everything, and there is that which is emanated from him. There's a clear distinction between the two. Even though they are one, they are also different. So we have that original source who is emanating everything from himself. He has two types of expansions. They are called integrated expansions. That's one category. And the other category is separated expansions. The integrated expansions are called Vishnu Tattva. The separated expansions are called Jiva Tattva. It is proper. Vishnu Tattva, Jiva Tattva. It is proper to worship any Vishnu Tattva as God. That is proper. That includes Krishna, Ram, Narayan, Nrisimha, Vamana. There's a list. Dashavataras. They are called Vishnu Tattva category. Any of them. Krishna is also Vishnu Tattva. He is the original Vishnu Tattva. So any Vishnu form, they are equally worshipable. You can choose any of them. The other category, Jiva Tattva. You see? And Lord Shiva is a special unique. He is Shiva Tattva. They can be worshipped, but not in the same way as Vishnu Tattva. They can be worshipped as great devotees of the Lord. Notice, like what he's explaining to this nice gentleman here. You see? They can be worshipped as devotees of God. But we have to clearly understand the difference between Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva. If we confuse them, then we fall into the trap of thinking that we are also God. Because we are Jiva Tattva. Brahmaji is Jiva Tattva, you are also Jiva Tattva. If we think that a Jiva Tattva is God, then we can also think that I am God. Selfishness is the root cause of all suffering and anxiety. So do you think that if I have the conception that I am God, that I can become selfless? If I start thinking that I'm the center of everything, and I just have to worship myself, that is the height of selfishness. So we have to this idea that, you know, everyone is God is true in the sense that everyone has the qualities of God. God is eternal, you are eternal. God is full of knowledge, you are full of knowledge. God is full of bliss, you are full of bliss. God has a form and a personality, you have a form and a personality. Qualitatively, we are all God, but quantitatively, there is a gulf of difference between us and God. Just like we can take one drop of water from the Atlantic Ocean, and I can bring you this drop, and I can say, this is Atlantic Ocean. And we can all agree, yes, this is Atlantic Ocean. But if I say, this is the Atlantic Ocean, you'll say, wait a minute. I don't buy that. I've seen how big it is. You can't put it in a palm of your hand. You can say it is Atlantic Ocean. You cannot say it's the Atlantic Ocean. You see the difference. So in one sense, we can say that everyone is God in the sense that the drop and the ocean are the same quality. But you cannot say that you are the source of everything that exists. That you cannot say. See, that would be untrue. So we have to understand, this is the sublime philosophy given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Achintya Bhedabhed Tattva. The absolute truth is simultaneously one and different. So we understand that everything is one with God and also different from Him. This is a very important distinction. If we fall into the trap of thinking that everyone is indeed the Supreme Lord, I met one gentleman in South India. I don't know, I don't recommend, but some of you may have read the funny papers. When I was a little boy, I don't read now, I'm by devotee. But there's one cartoon character, his name, Dennis the Menace. So, when we were visiting South India, we met one gentleman. He was very proud of his liberal, monistic view of reality. He showed us in his puja room, he had one doll of Dennis the Menace. And he very kind, happily told us how he was offering the puja to Dennis the Menace. So, if we think that everyone is God and everything is God, then why not worship Dennis the Menace? I mean, then why not worship Osama bin Laden? Get a deity of Osama bin Laden and you do your arti to him.
There are people who do that.
Yeah, well, the Al Qaeda does that. Right?
So, he's a ministry.
Huh?
Yeah,
his
own ministry.
Yeah. So, we have to know the difference, you see, between Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva. That's a very, very important distinction. Does that answer your question?
I thought most of the Krishna Bhaktas are selfish people and the people who are worshipping Shiva are non-selfish people because Brahma is the creator. Krishna is giving the living and Shiva is known as the destroyer. Now, most of them, even in the South India, if you are saying, most of them, they put on the forehead the vibhuti. Vibhuti is nothing but the ash.
Yeah, ash. Shiva is the word that, like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the final form of every human being is the ash.
Yes.
So, that's...
If you are Hindu.
Yeah.
Hindu. But if you are Parsi, it is stool. Because they feed to the vulture. And if you're a Christian, it is dust because they put in the coffin. You see, only for Hindu is it ash. Not for Parsi. It is still a pure person.
Yeah, when it is mixing up with the sand or the dust also, again the final form is that's what it has been.
Yes. So we are also, we are putting also the dust. This is also a form of dust. Thanda. This is Tilak is form of dust.
Most of the Krishna Bhaktas, they follow Krishna. It's because of Lakshmi, the money, like that. Now, Shiva Bhaktas.
What is it?
No.
Vaishnava is not worshipping, does not worship for money. That is not Vaishnavism, that is moneyism. Is
it?
The Vaishnava, he simply wants bhakti. That's all. He has no material motive. That my dear Lord, give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. Vaishnava, that is not Vaishnava. A Vaishnava, he is simply begging for bhakti. That's all. He has no material desire. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundanim. Kavitam vajagadisha kamaye. Mama janmani janmani shvade bhavatad bhakti rahaitaki toy. I don't desire wealth. I don't desire women. I don't desire any number of disciples. I don't desire liberation even from... I don't even desire moksha. I simply want to seva. Bhagavan seva, that's all. Serve the Lord. Even if I have to stay in this jagat, this material existence for eternity, I don't mind. As long as I can always be doing service for Krishna or Vishnu, then I'm happy. That is Vaishnava, you see.
That's
He's not running it. But, you know, that... Huh?
That is bhakti.
That is bhakti.
Yeah. Other is worship only.
Hmm?
Other is only worship, puja for material things.
But the thing is, actually those who go to God for money, they are fools. You know why? Because when you totally give yourself to the Lord simply to serve Him and please Him, then He gives you unlimited money. Whatever you need to serve Him, He will give you every penny you need. You don't need to endeavor like an ass to get money if you so totally surrender to Krishna. If you totally give yourself to Krishna, whatever money you need, Krishna will give you whatever money you need to serve Him. You don't have to... That is the insider's secret. Give up your material desires, simply satisfy the Lord, and then all your material needs, He will personally arrange for them. You won't have to endeavor like and create anxiety, oh, I might get laid off, what's going to happen now? You will simply feel how Krishna is giving you everything you need, and you'll never have any anxiety if you surrender to Him. It's a fact. Yes?
There is also a misconception. Like, Lord Shiva is easily pleased. So
wait a minute, are you asking a question? This is a question.
No, it's just some more input.
Huh?
Some more.
Oh, you have a realization? Okay, good. Yeah. What's the realization? All right.
So, Lord Shiva is easily pleased. So, you pray Him, so He is easily pleased and He gives you whatever you want. And if you pray Lord Vishnu or Lord Hari, you know, you take away everything. So, there is another misconception like that.
Yes. One may think, well, then Shiva is better.
Yeah.
No, always when you are talking about the Lord, the way you worship, the way you
they all think Shiva is better because Hari takes away and Shiva gives me whatever I want. But see, one has to realize that actually Vishnu is better. Because simply to have some cheap trinkets in this material world and to be caught here, that isn't worth it. The best thing is to totally surrender to Krishna or to Vishnu and get out of this place. That's the best thing. One has to understand that, but the common man will think, well, the Shiva is better. You know, if I can pray to Him and get whatever I want, He gives me whatever material desires I have, and it's very good. But the real thing is, whatever material fulfillment you're going to get is going to come anyway because of your karma. You don't really need to pray for material things. It's not necessary. Whatever material things you're going to get will all come because of your past activities. Therefore, you should simply pray for devotion. To pray for material things is foolish. Just like the Christians, they say, "Dear God, please give us our daily bread." These children here, do they have to ask for you for their daily chapatis? No, you feed them because you love them, isn't it? So we don't have to beg God to feed us. "My dear God, give me some money, give me a house, give me a car, give me a green card." You see, we don't have to pray for these things.
There are people who just pray for...
They do puja for green card puja.
Everyone, most of them are...
So I get my position in Svarga Loka, right?
Well, it's more materialistic approach, that's what they go with. Like,
yes, so
even on just on Vishnu Sahasranamam, the Vishnu tells the names where we talk about the Vishnu.
The thing
it
is,
talks about the Brahmin gets the knowledge.
What
the Vishnu Sahasranamam?
It says that where?
Yeah, Vishnu Sahasranamam. Actually, this Hare, the chanting Hare Krishna mantra, if you chant Vishnu Sahasranam, 1,000 names of Vishnu, if you say the name of Lord Ram one time, it has the potent. This is stated in Shastra. I'm not making this up. This is stated in Shastra. That if you say Ram one time, it is as good as the entire Vishnu Sahasranam. And if you say Krishna one time, it is as good as saying Ram three times. So, if you say Krishna one time, it is as good as chanting 3,000 names of Vishnu. Therefore, we recommend, not on our own, but on the authority of Vedas, we recommend everyone to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, because that will accelerate your becoming liberated from the cycle of birth and death. Let's face it, aren't we distracted by our jobs from our meditation on God?
Sure.
You don't have to, you can go and you can just meditate all day long on God?
No.
Right. We're distracted. Therefore, we need a very powerful meditational technique. And therefore, the Shastra says in this Kali Yuga, the most powerful means of enlightenment is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Not Om. Not anything else. Hare Krishna mantra is given in the Kali Santarana Upanishad. We are not cult members here who recommend Hare Krishna because we belong to the Hare Krishna cult. No, that's not a thing. We are scientists of the absolute truth here. And we chant Hare Krishna because we have done research in the Vedas under the expert guidance of the most learned Acharya. We have found through our research in the Vedas that this is the most powerful mantra. Therefore, we chant it. And therefore, we are known as the Hare Krishna people because that's all we do is chant Hare Krishna. And this process of chanting Hare Krishna will give you everything. If you chant Hare Krishna, you will not be lacking in anything. Whatever you need to be happy will all be there if you chant Hare Krishna mantra. So, I don't want to go too long here.
One question. Why do we say then
what is it?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, then Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. We just do with Krishna. We just say of Krishna.
Why don't we do just Krishna? Because Mahajano Yena Gata Sapanta. One should follow the path. The Vedas tell us that we should follow the path of the Mahajanas, the great Acharyas. You see, if we try to concoct our own system of enlightenment, guess what? We are not enlightened. And if we try to change the recipe, the cake will be flat.
No, but also in the Vedas, if you say that saying the name of the Ram, Krishna one time...
Try to understand my point, dear sir.
Yeah.
We are not... Our ability to even understand a Shastra is limited. That's why we require an enlightened spiritual master who understands the inner meaning of the scriptures. If we just try to, Prabhupada said, don't, someone said, in, lady asked Prabhupada in London, she said, Swamiji, can't we just have a guru by reading books? Prabhupada said, don't try to make a guru in the air. Make a guru concrete. So the books are there, but we must also have the spiritual master, just as we had Prabhupada here. And now Prabhupada's disciples are also acting as spiritual masters to help the new people to understand what is the actual meaning of the scriptures. It's very, very important that we understand from the great acharyas what is the practical application of the Vedic injunctions. It's very essential. If we try to figure it out on our own, we'll never become spiritually enlightened.
When he talked about Vishnu Sahasranamam, he said that, according to Shastra, uttering the name of Lord Rama is equivalent to one Sahasranam. And uttering the name of Lord Krishna is three times. So that's what Satyaki is asking. Why don't we simply say Krishna? Why all these names?
To answer that question, thank you for helping to clarify. To answer that question, we can say this. The chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is even more powerful than just saying Krishna.
You are saying Hare Krishna, Hare Rama.
No. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The full 16 words is much more powerful than simply going Krishna, 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 Krishna. Why? Because we are chanting Hare. Hare refers to Srimati Radharani. Krishna is a very big man. He's the Lord of the universe. Radharani is much easier to approach than Krishna. If you utter Hare and then Krishna, then you get the blessings of Radharani to get access, full access to her beloved Lord Krishna. If you just stand Krishna without going through Radharani's mercy, you'll never really get in all the way to Krishna. We require that extra mercy of Srimati Radharani. And she has come. She is combined with Krishna in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you have Radha, and you also have Radha Krishna. So that Hare Krishna mantra, that is more powerful than just going Krishna, 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 Krishna. More powerful. Yeah. Any other questions?
So this word Hare...
Hare refers to the energy of God, which is Radharani.
With respect to when you are talking about Krishna, right? So when you say Rama, Hare Rama, what does that Hare refer to?
It depends. If you're thinking that Ram is Lord Ram, that would be Sita. Hare would be Sita. Maybe. I don't know about Parashuram.
Parashuram. Balram.
Also can refer to the energy of the Lord. Actually, we like to think that Ram is Supreme Enjoyer. He has two aspects. He is Krishna and he is Ram, same person. And Hare is his beloved Srimati Radharani. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes.
Just a comment that in the Vedas they're given what are called mantras. Mm. So those are specially powerful forms of worship, and they're invested in specific power. And when they're heard from a pure person, a pure bhakta, then they're fully potent. So when this Maha Mantra is heard from a pure devotee, it has maximum potency.
Yeah.
Maximum potency, so that it will act very quickly. Just like if you go to the drugstore and you take a little this, little that, or maybe it'll cure me. You go to the doctor and he gives you the exact prescription. You take this, you'll get healed very quickly. So that is the mantra. And when it's given by the proper physician, the pure devotee, it acts very powerfully.
That's fact. Very good point. Any other question? Yes.
Prabhupada said, if you take Hare Krishna mantra, then you lose space for all mundane activity.
Your what?
Lose taste for mundane activities.
If you chant the Hare Krishna mantra with purity, yes, you will lose taste for all mundane things.
But my question is, but at the same time you said you become a very good employer, student,
yes,
husband. Sir. But how it can be? These are mundane activities, right?
Because your spiritual master will order you. I want you to work that job. So you're doing it as Guru Seva, actually. You're not doing it to please the boss. You're doing it to please your spiritual master. Because the movement, Hare Krishna movement, needs money. So the Guru will say, you keep your job and you, that way you can contribute some money to help the society. So in that way, it is no longer a mundane activity. It is spiritual activity. Why is Krishna saying, Yat Karoshi, whatever you do, offer it to me. So your job should become transformed into bhakti. You should be contributing money regularly from your job to support the movement. In that way, because Guru has ordered you to, you work your job, now you're doing Guru Seva. It's a spiritual activity. And if Guru Maharaj just tells you, now you go to Vrindavan and chant on the bank of the Jamuna, then you will do that also. You're detached. You simply do whatever Guru Maharaj says. If he says to work your job, you do that. If he says quit your job, you do that. You're detached. You're just doing everything as Guru Maharaj has ordered you. And there is no material consciousness anymore there. Even though you maybe appear to be, you know, a materialist. You're not. You're a pure spiritualist. Understand? Yeah. So, yeah.
One request if you want. That you may again meet us in chanting Hare Krishna.
Some more mantra chanting?
Yeah.
Alright. We can do that. So we thank you all very much for your wonderful attention and your wonderful questions. Dajavidra, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.